welcome you to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I will tell you that I am recording on a new computer, and hopefully our technical difficulties are behind us. I have a new squeaky chair. Did not know it was a squeaky chair till I put it together and found out it's a squeaky chair. So, you know, I'll continue working on that. People ask for the podcast more often. I will try, but I got to tell you, it's time. I said this before. I don't even know what time is anymore. Things are happening so fast. This news cycle is so ridiculous that there's no way to keep up. So last week I had other commitments, and I did another episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is always fun. I did a couple of protest rides over the weekend. I went to the protest. There was a protest on the Sunset Strip near the Laugh Factory, which, as many of you know, is my home club. And I went down there just to, you know, get the vibe and so on. And it was very peaceful. It was very cool. Jamie Masada, who owns the Laugh Factory, is a great guy. His club in Long Beach got hit Sunday night. He said he understood the frustration behind it. He was obviously upset, but he wasn't angry, you know, as in he was just upset. His business got hit, broken windows, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, Monday, when the protest was near the Hollywood Club, obviously the windows were boarded up and so on. But there was really no violence, no anger, none of that vibe. Saturday and Sunday, I went on a couple of protest rides, something they're doing in L.A. Somewhere between 100 and 200 motorcycles. Saturday, we rode from Long Beach to Leimert Park, which is in South Central L.A., and there was a big rally there. Sunday, we rode up PCH into Malibu. All very cool, no nonviolent, whatever. Actually, Sunday, the police even came to help direct traffic, which was cool. But what I really loved seeing, Brentwood, very upscale, white area. Malibu, obviously, you know, Malibu's a rich, predominantly white area. There were protests on corners. They were almost like impromptu, where people would come out and stand on their corner at an intersection, whatever, with signs, you know, Black Lives Matter, honk if you support us, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there were families out there, and they had their kids. They had, I'm going to say, kids between 5 and 10 years old. And what I think is great about that is, even if the kids don't understand exactly what's going on, their parents are teaching them at that young age that something is wrong, that something is wrong with our society, with the system. And I think that's great. This has come up. I've had white people ask me, you know, what can we do? We're sorry that you live with all this, et cetera, et cetera. And I say the same thing all the time. The best thing I think white people can do is talk to other white people and put to bed, put to rest all the bullshit arguments, okay? Black people are not anti-police. We're anti-police brutality. We're anti-police murder, but we're not anti-police. So this isn't about saying, oh, there's just a few bad apples, because until we change the culture of the police departments to where the good police will turn into bad police rather than protect them or stay silent, then the police departments are a problem. So there's that. This ain't about black on black crime. You always get that argument. Well, what about black on black crime? Well, what about white on white crime? And again, this is something I'd love white people to say to other white people, because maybe then they'll listen. Crime is local. People commit crimes against the people around them. So the black people commit crimes in black neighborhoods, and white people commit crime in white neighborhoods. And statistically, and any other way you want to look at it, it goes. The big difference, these are crimes being committed by the police. These are murders being committed by the police. I said this a long time ago, and I still stand by it. If a gangbanger attacks or robs or beats or kills even or whatever, well, he's a gangbanger. He's a criminal. He's a whatever, you know? But when a cop does it, they're not supposed to be doing it. See, that's the big difference. And finally, the All Lives Matter argument, stop it, okay? The best counter argument, the best way to explain the ridiculousness of All Lives Matter that I've heard is the fire analogy. Your house is on fire. Firemen show up and they start spraying water on the houses next to yours. And you're like, my house is on fire. And they're like, well, all houses matter. But mine is burning down right now. Yeah, we know, but you know, all homes matter. You see how ridiculous that is? Maybe you want to put water on the house that's on fire. So maybe you want to look at the black lives because they're the ones being taken. So that would be good. But just like I said, getting the kids out there, I think it's fantastic because even if they don't understand it, they know something's wrong. They're learning something's wrong. They're learning to care about somebody beyond themselves. And I appreciate the parents doing that. Now, here's what I did, because again, no way to cover everything that's happened in a week. So I just went through headlines of articles I saw this week. And, you know, just starting with, it's Monday, by the way, it's Monday, June 8th. So just starting from here, just the headlines and brief. And this, I don't even think this is 7 days. I think this goes back to maybe Wednesday. This might be in the last 5 days. So the Boogaloo Boys, another new white, maybe not new, whatever, white supremacist hate group that's out there. A lot of ex-military, they're finding them. You know, I know Trump wants to blame the Antifa for stirring up trouble. They're finding out quite often it's these Boogaloo Boys. They just arrested three of them with Molotov cocktails going to a protest in Las Vegas, because if they can start the violence, stir it up, and blame the Black Lives Matter movement and the peaceful protesters, they can lead to their race war that they dream of, blah, blah, blah. So now this is another group we got to listen to and look for, the Boogaloo Boys. Greg Glassman, founder, these are just headlines, just one by one. There's the next one. Greg Glassman, founder of CrossFit. We all know CrossFit, killer exercise, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he does some kind of tweet about Floyd 19 and being able to get back to the gym. In other words, trying to make a joke connecting George Floyd's death with COVID-19. And so he's cut by Reebok and everybody else involved in CrossFit, which of course leads to him giving the bullshit apology the next day. Next, Meghan McCain of The View. She's the right winger on The View. She tries to stir it up. She challenged Kamala Harris. Meghan, don't. Kamala Harris is so much smarter than you. It's like, honestly, it's like me saying, LeBron, you can't play for shit. Let's go one-on-one. That's the difference between Kamala Harris and you. See, Kamala Harris has achieved things. She is a senator. She's not there because her father achieved things and was a senator. But anyway, she tried the defund police routine. Now, the defund police movement, and I was talking about this with a comic friend, a guy named Michael Yo, who you should check out. Michael's great. He has a podcast. He has a show on Sirius Radio. Anyway, we're talking about the defund police, and the only problem with that is it's easily misunderstood. Defund police does not mean shut down police departments. It means cut the budget of police departments or share the budget of police departments with other social programs, education, etc., that help people. So instead of the only solution is a bigger and bigger police force, no, maybe the solution is spending some money on helping the community. So that's what defund police is about. And the problem with it, obviously, is you could take that headline and the Republicans are doing this, run with. So anyway, Meghan McCain tries to catch Kamala Harris with this defund police. What do you think about defund police? Do you think you shut down police departments? And Kamala Harris calmly said, what do you think defund police means? And of course, Megan started that. Yeah, no, what do you think it means? So another panelist on The View explained to Meghan McCain what it means. And stop trying this game of gotcha with Kamala Harris, a U.S. senator. And then finally, when she was asked, Kamala Harris said, well, what does it mean? You know, Megan just kind of changed the topic. And do you think we should shut down all the police departments? Which is ridiculous. So another headline done. I'm just saying. There's so many. How do you keep up? Okay, let's talk about our idiot, Trump. Now, where do we start this? Let's start it with, after he came out of hiding in the bunker, he used the police, and we're not really sure who he used, because there are secret police departments in Washington, D.C. There are police, we assume police, maybe other departments, but we don't know, because these cops are covering up their badges, their names, and their departments, which is wrong. I don't think it's illegal, but it's wrong. But it's like a secret police force. So anyway, what they did, because Trump wanted to make a appearance in front of a church across the street, they tear gassed and beat the protesters and got them out of the street so Trump could walk across the street. And then Trump, of course, talking tough. I'm going to bring in the military. The army's going to take over the streets. If you cities don't take blah, blah, blah. Well, the troops are leaving D.C. after three former Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mattis, Colin Powell, etc., said that, you know, we have the thing called the Constitution, and you can't just send the army into cities to take over. Somebody got it into the idiot's head. So they're removing the troops from the streets. On a personal level, somebody who I've done business with for a long time said it's a good idea to have troops in the streets, at which point I decided we will no longer do business. Continuing on these headlines, in Seattle, car drives through the police barricade into the protesters. Driver flashes his gun, seems to have shot somebody. They did arrest him, but they didn't kill him. Let me say that again. He drove through a barrier. He pulled out a gun. He appears to shot somebody. He was arrested, but he wasn't killed. I wonder why. Maybe he wasn't black. Just saying. Fox News. Yeah. Always a new low at Fox News. They put up a graphic that showed the stock market increases every time a black man is killed. And this is not recent. They went back as far as Martin Luther King. They had Martin Luther King. They had Michael Brown from Ferguson. They had, obviously, George Floyd more recently. And they showed that the stock market goes up when they kill a black man. Because why the fuck wouldn't Fox News put that up? Which, of course, it was followed by a bullshit apology. The jobless rate decrease was actually an increase. Friday, Trump was out, and it's amazing. Again, there is no bottom. So he was saying that George Floyd would be looking down and be happy at the job increases in the economy. When someone sent me that article, okay, I didn't believe it. I believed it, but I didn't believe it. It was like he couldn't like go that low, right? He couldn't be that fucked up that he would actually say something like George Floyd is looking down at the economy, but he did. He actually said it. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who puts out these reports, said that there was a big mistake. There's a misclassification error, and that's why there was a decline in unemployment. The truth, which Trump has no relationship whatsoever, the truth is the jobless rate went up. So it's not 13.3%. It's 16.3%, and it's close to the 20% that some people predicted as a result of the COVID shutdown and the lack of leadership and a complete fucking idiot in the White House. So anyway, yeah, so is it a lie? Yeah, it's a lie. Not only is it a lie, you worked George Floyd. It's staggering, but it's not unbelievable, even though at first I was like, couldn't be. Continuing, just 1 week, people, just 1 week of headlines. Okay. In Virginia, another one of these incel is the, celibate guys, who they can't get laid, and they're all on Reddit, and they have these groups, And they hate women. So some idiot named Carini blew his hand off, which when you're incel and you blow your hand off, what you're saying is, there goes my girlfriend. Anyway, he blew his hand off. He went to the hospital. He claimed it was a lawnmower accident. The people in the hospital knew he was lying. They called the FBI. The FBI went to his house, found bomb-making materials, rusty nails that would be shrapnel in a bomb, etc., and some note that he was going to blow up some hot cheerleaders at the mall. So they got him. They caught him, which is good. Just, again, just another side headline in all of this madness. Let's move to sports. Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, admits the NFL should have listened to players on protests. Yet somehow, in his bullshit apology speech, in his bullshit what we should have done speech, didn't mention Colin Kaepernick, the NFL player who led the protest, the first one to take a knee. He didn't mention him. Just gave the bullshit apology that we should perhaps listen to players in their protests over police brutality and racism and all this. What is this racism you speak of? We've never heard of it. Yes, we run a league where the majority of players are black, but we never heard of this racism thing. So there was a video done with Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Bailey, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr., Deshaun Watson, and so on, that they posted. And somehow Goodell was like, wow, we're wrong. We're going to have to apologize. Yeah, another bullshit apology. LeBron James, who you know I love, you know I love LeBron on and off the court, called out Laura Ingraham on her racism because Drew Brees made a statement about the protests and about the flag and so on. And he was checked immediately, first of all, that these protests and the Colin Kaepernick protests, etc., have nothing to do with the flag. They've said it from the beginning in plain English. I used to do a joke about this. They're speaking English. It's the only language I speak, and I understood every word. When they said, this is about police brutality against black people, not against the flag, not against America, or any of that police brutality. But anyway, Drew Brees spoke out about it. Then I think Drew Brees had one of those come to God, find religion moments and realized, like, wait a minute, on the field, I am protected. The only protection I have on the field is from large black men. Perhaps I should shut the fuck up. So, and I've met Drew Brees. I did an event with him. He seemed like a nice guy. I'm sure he is a nice guy, but he was just so wrong. So he came out with his bullshit apology and took his apology to the next level. And I always call it a bullshit apology because when it's the day after you did something, like you're not apologizing, you're trying to clean up. But anyway, he talked about how he was wrong, and he even went so far as to write an open letter and talk to Trump about how this isn't about the flag, this is about police brutality, etc., etc., to which Trump said you shouldn't have apologized because Trump is actually not protected by large black men, he's protected by armed white men, so he doesn't give a shit. But anyway, getting back to the topic of sports, this was just another one of those headlines of the week. LeBron checked Laura Ingraham because Laura Ingraham's after telling LeBron and KD that they, Kevin Durant, for those who are not sports fans, incredible basketball player, telling them they should shut up and dribble, she said that Drew Brees has a right to an opinion. Let me think. Two black men told to shut up and dribble, a white man told he has a right to an opinion. No, Laura, no racism there, just something we're making it up. Okay. Police. You would think that considering not just the nation, the entire world, worldwide, there are protests against American police killing American black men. Huge, huge crowds in London, in Australia, Sydney and Melbourne, and Sydney and Melbourne also protesting the treatment and killing of their Aboriginal people, people of color in their country, native people of color in their country, getting killed by the police. Protests worldwide, not just nationwide, worldwide, record-setting crowds. Believe it or not, there was a crowd in D.C. even bigger than Trump's inauguration. I know it's hard to believe that that many people could fit in a city, but yes. So all of these protests about police violence, and what is the police department's response? Repeatedly, violence. Not just violence, not just beating, tasering, rubber bullet shooting, and tear gassing protesters, but doing it on video. It's almost like, how do you, I'm looking for a word beyond stupidity. It's not insanity, because it's intentional. It's mind-boggling. So in Buffalo, and you've seen the video, their elite unit of riot police, whatever the hell they want to call themselves, pushed down a 75-year-old man. And they didn't just push down a 75-year-old man. They pushed down a 75-year-old man who was trying to return one of their helmets. Pushed him down. He hit his head. He's laying on the sidewalk bleeding. The video actually showed blood coming out of his head onto the sidewalk. What did the cops do? Keep on walking. Step over him. Just keep walking. So they fired these two cops. What did the rest of the police do in this elite unit? They quit the unit out of solidarity. So 57 more quit after these two get fired. You know what I say? Like the old joke about two lawyers jumping into the ocean? It's a good start. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. All 59 of them. Fire them. Get rid of them. And you charge the two for assault and battery for pushing this man over. Unarmed 75-year-old man. Okay, not no threat. No threat. He wasn't a large black man. He didn't have superhuman strength. He was an old white guy. You pushed him to the ground and you busted his head open. Okay? So you charge those two, and the 57 who quit, fuck them. Okay? In New York City, again, protesters just beating up people. There was a police car driving down the street. They opened the door of the car to knock over protesters. It's... You're on video. During protests. It's amazing. And it's happened in every city. It's happened in LA. It's happened in Atlanta. They had cops pulling two people out of a car. They did charge them, pulling two people out of a car, beating them. They got charged, thank God. It's on and on. So we've got that. We've got the unmarked cops in Washington, D.C. And mind you, these are not real police. These are not brave, face down bullets. I've done an event a few times for the first responders of Detroit. And these people are amazing. And these are the people who are heroes. These are the cops who face down armed robbers, armed dope dealers in shootouts, some of them been shot, the firemen who rush into, and men and women, no discrimination in saying that, didn't mean it that way, but they literally rush into burning buildings, the paramedics who are on the street doing it, those are the real heroes, make no mistake, those people are amazing. I said this a few podcasts ago. To be brave, like it's one thing to talk shit about being brave. It's a whole nother thing to be brave in a dangerous situation, to rush into a situation where you can get hurt or killed with no thought of your personal safety, just doing your job and taking care. These aren't those cops. These cops are, they got on their riot gear and their bulletproof vests, and they plow into a crowd and they beat people who are unarmed and weaker with no, bullshit. But anyway, that's the week, right? That's the week. Now, I'm going to close, because I always say I'm going to close on a positive. Were there any good stories this week? There were some great stories this week. Ella Jones was elected the mayor of Ferguson. Ella Jones is a black woman. She was elected as the mayor of Ferguson. Voting matters. There are people who say you got to do more than vote, and I hope you do whatever, but voting matters. Speaking of voting, Stephen King, the world-class racist congressman from Iowa, is out. He lost the primary. He's done. That's a good thing. Grant Napier, the Sacramento Kings announcer. The Sacramento Kings are a basketball team. The NBA is 70% black. Perhaps you, even if you are a racist or a fucking idiot, you'd be smart enough to keep your mouth shut. But apparently Grant wasn't, so he liked to tweet that all lives matter. And he all lives matter his ass right out of a job. He's gone. The Marines have banned Confederate flag displays. That took a while, but it is done, and that's good. And Confederate statues are coming down in various cities, and I think that's great. Now, above and beyond the call of duty, first I want to give a shout out to the artists who are painting murals on the boarded up, on the boards of boarded up buildings and windows. That's amazing. That's amazing. So thank you for that. But in D.C., and you saw this, Black Lives Matter, this is the mayor of D.C., Bowser, Black Lives Matter Plaza, right outside of the White House, huge, just painted right down the middle of the street leading to the White House, Black Lives Matter in yellow on the street. The only thing that would make this better is if somehow they had a 50-foot tall inflatable Barack Obama to float above it, so that Trump couldn't not see that. But kudos to D.C. Beautiful. Magnificently done. And finally, I want to talk about a man, because again, we use the word hero all the time. This guy, they gave a better description than hero. Absolute legend. His name is Raul Duby. And he took in 70 protesters in D.C. He took in 70 protesters because it was after curfew and the cops were coming at him with their pepper spray and their tear gas and their rubber bullets. And those rubber bullets, by the way, look it up. Those ain't little rubber pellets. Those are big ass things. People have lost eyes. People have been shot in the throat, wounded. These things are serious. 70 people. He just opened his door and said, get in here, get in here. Keep coming in, get in here, get in here. Took 70 people in overnight to protect them, to give them shelter, to give them somewhere to hide from the police. This is the United States of America. It's mind-boggling that someone had to do it, but he did this. He took them in, would not take any money, wouldn't do anything. He said, I looked around, saw kids from 20 to 30 in the house, scattered on all floors, the backyard, but they were safe. They were safe. Can you imagine police, riot police, whatever, coming down the street, about to destroy people and just opening your door and saying, get in here, stranger. You don't know any of them. You don't know who they are, what they are. You know what? It's amazing. And they were cool. And no, they didn't rob his house. Oh, all the looters and all. I'm so tired of that narrative, that bullshit about these are all criminals and protests and blah, blah, blah. No. This man took in 70 people to protect them from the police. The idea that you have to protect citizens from the police in the United States of America is unthinkable. It gives people an idea of what black people deal with every day. Every day. Black people do not have the relationship with the police that white people have. Black people don't just call the police and expect them to come protect them. Doesn't work that way. But these people felt that threat from the police, and this man provided a safe haven. So kudos to you, sir. Amazing. Amazing. And that's 1 week. And that's not me going in depth on any stories. And that's why Ramon, this is why I don't do more podcasts, man. It's too much. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for putting up with me. Be safe out there, okay, in protests, in the coronavirus, etc. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. It's a crazy time. It's a lot of threats out there, but never forget. And it's hard for me to say because it's hard to be an optimist. But I will say this. There's a hell of a lot of good out there. Latch on to some of it, share it, laugh if you can, limit your news, try some jazz. That's all I got. Thank you.